Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. Praise Lord. We're glad that you are here in the household of the Lord once again, and continue to pray that God will grow you and encourage you through this week. He will fill you up tonight at the filling station and enable you to make it through the rest of the week. Amen. Amen. And we live in a time where we need the Lord. With all these earthquakes, tornadoes, storms, flooding. Hello, somebody. We need the Lord. So, more now than ever before. So, we're glad that you're in the house. Amen. Yes. 2011, this year, I will resolve. And who is him? Amen. And our year is fastly closing. We're in the last 2 months, and we pray that as a result of us studying and resolving that you, throughout this year, have developed a closer relationship with God, because, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about getting to know him, and that's, Paul has been our example throughout this whole year, and it still intrigues me to somebody that wanting to know somebody so much that they wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. That kind of blows my mind. Maybe it blows my mind because I'm not there yet, but I'm praying that before it's all over, that I will have such a wonderful and great relationship that I say, Lord, I want to know all of you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And really, we don't have any choice in the matter. As we grow, this will happen. Suffering will happen as you grow. He is our one we can look to as we talk about this month. Keep our eyes. Philippians 3:17 says, "Join us in following my example, brethren and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And that's what we've been doing, trying to keep our eyes on Paul. Keep our eyes, the perfect example is Jesus, as we learned Sunday, to keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on Jesus. We learned last Wednesday night to see Jesus at work. If we just keep our eyes on the right people, God can do some marvelous and miraculous things in the life of our personal life as well as the life of this church. So say to your neighbor. Keep your eye on Jesus. Tonight we're going to be looking at a lesson tonight. a relationship between a mother and a son. And we're going to see the influence that a mother can have over a son in a message entitled, Lord, Do It. Do It For Me Right Now. Let's read John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It's three slides. It's in your handouts. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, we're talking about a lesson tonight entitled, Lord, Do It. Do it for me right now. And we're going to talk about tonight on around 3 points. Holy Spirit gives us utterance. Or as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, we're going to talk about the do it, we're going to talk about the to do, and we're going to talk about the best do. The do it, the to do, and the best do. We want Christians to know tonight that Christians should ask for Jesus' help in any situation. Christians should ask for Jesus' help in any situation. Most of you know the words to the sermon title. If you've been around the church a long time, you know that this sermon title comes from a song by Reverend James Cleveland. Some of you new school people, you may know the title from Hezekiah Walker, who redid the song. You know the lyrics to the song. It says, Lord, do it. Lord, do it for me right now. And if I was a song singer, you know me, I would sing the song, but I'm going to spare you tonight. But you know the words to that song, and you know how greatly encouraging it is to say, Lord, do it for me right now. Another part of the song goes, you've read the Bible, and you've read the story about the blind man that could not see, but one day he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he said, lay your hands on me. Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. I couldn't help but think that these were some of the words that Mary, the mother of Jesus, must have spoken. Though she probably wouldn't be saying using the word Lord, she probably used son. Son, do it Do it for me right now. What intrigues me about the text is that it's the kind of miracle. It's one thing that intrigues me about the text is that Jesus would in this text turn water into wine. It always intrigues me why water into wine being the first sign that you would give for the world. You would think that there would be more important miracles to do in regards to the first thing that you would do. Water into wine. We know it's kind of controversial for Christians to even be dealing with this subject of wine. And Jesus, you turn water into wine. We know that wine back then was not as potent and that it was used a lot of time for municipal purposes or for medication. As Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach, but most folk are drinking wine today. They ain't worried about their stomach. Hello, somebody. but it could be controversial. Jesus, why did you, your first miracle, your first sign to the world, why did you turn water into wine? That intrigues me. And one of the things that I can say is that water or wine represented joy. And maybe he was just doing echoing the song that they sung when he was born that night. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And maybe that's why this was the first miracle, is that, oh, maybe he was saying like an anointing that it's joy, it's joy time. Jesus is about to, in the words of the song back in the day, Jesus is about to come out, as Dinah Ross said, I'm coming out. I want the world to know, gotta let it show. Maybe that's why he turned water into wine, was that he was telling the world that I'm about to come out. And he did this, but maybe he did this because of the influence of his mother. His mother was invited to a wedding, and at the wedding they had wine, but they had run out of wine, and back then in that culture, in that time, it would be a humiliating disgrace to run out. I didn't know how important it was to have enough until we traveled to a sister church and we got there and they had run out of food. And I know many of my members were a bit angry because they had run out. Hello, somebody. But they had run out. They had run out. And this could have been detrimental to their reputation. They had run out. And Mary saw it. His mother saw it as a problem. And she went to her baby boy and basically said, son, do it. Do it for me right now. But the son had a problem. The son had a problem. The son, said that it's not my time. That's another thing I like about this text is that, sometimes God moves before time. Hello, somebody. I like to be blessed. I like for my blessings to overtake me. I like to get a blessing. Before time. I don't know if I ever preached this. I preached a sermon entitled The Original East Side Boys, about the tribes that inherit the land on the east side of the Jordan, and they inherit the land early, and before they would have to fight, before they would have to go to battle, they inherited the land, and they inherited early, but after they inherited, they had to agree to go and help the others fight on the west side of the Jordan, but they inherited early on the east side. I call them the east side boys. And right here, Mary would be able to influence her son to have him come out early. He said, it's not my time. But she said, son, do it for me right now. And maybe it was through her influence that we get this miracle. Because mama said, knock you out. Hello, somebody. Mama can't tell a son what to do. Don't you know that? Some of you who married mama's boys know. Hello, even if you're not a mama's boy, mama has influence over you, and mama can get you to do what she wants you to do. She said in this text, son, do it for me right now. And again, it represents God being able to move early on your behalf. God being able to move before you even thought he would move. He moves early in some cases. We always say that he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. But sometimes he's before time. Hello, somebody. And that can make you happy. Sometimes you get a miracle. Sometimes you get a door to open that you weren't planning for it to open. You weren't expecting it to open, and it opens early, and you say, Lord, thank you. Hello, somebody. Maybe somebody listening right now, you think it's going to take a year. Somebody listening right now, you think it's going to take 6 months. Somebody listening right now, you think it's going to take, 6 weeks. But God is saying that he's about to do it earlier than you think. Hello, somebody. Anybody ready for an early blessing? Oh, we like blessings. The only thing better than a blessing is an early blessing. Oh, and he's saying to somebody tonight, it's going to be an early blessing. It's going to happen. Jesus said, it's not my time. But she said, son, do it for me right now. Right now, that's what we get in the text today. We get to our first point where we talk about the do it. The do it. Mary, he posed the question to his mother, woman, why have you involved me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. Woman, and this word woman was not meant to be a way of disrespecting him or her, but he was just saying and communicating, why are you involving me in this matter? Have you know mothers sometimes can get you involved in stuff that you don't want to get involved in? At least my mother's like that. but he said, woman, why are you involving me with it? You know, I just came to celebrate with the young couple. I didn't come here to work today. I definitely didn't come to do any miracles today, because it's not my time to do miracles. Mama, why are you involving me in this matter? My hour has not yet come. But like mothers do many times, his mother said, what? Okay, son, okay, you don't want to do it. Okay. Most of the time, mothers won't do that. Mothers won't do that. Mothers have a way of enforcing. Mothers have a way of doing. Good mothers have a way of motivating us to do stuff that we probably wouldn't normally do. Also, wives, if they're good wives, if they're helpmates that God has given us and sent us, they've been added to our lives to help us to reach the potential that God has in us. And our wives can come along and have us do some stuff that we either didn't think we could do or we just didn't want to do. The mother in this text, she didn't say, okay, son, well, you just enjoy yourself. You go on and you hang out with your boys. She had a conversation with the servants. And she said to the servants, the mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Hello, somebody. talking about faith. This was an act of faith. And maybe that's why he couldn't deny her. Maybe that's why this miracle came into place. It was an act of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes a lot of sense. Faith is not something that's out there in the atmosphere. Faith, and you've heard me say this before, that if you want the train to come, you better build the tracks. If you want the plane to come, you better build a runway. If you're stuck on a desert island and you want to get the lake, you better pray, and then you better build a boat to get off that island, because faith is very practical. And the most practical thing that she could do in this situation was go to the service, even though she heard what he said. Go to the service and say, do what he says to do. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, do what he says to do. This could revolutionize your Christian walk. This is the very base of your foundation in Christianity. If we could just get folk to do what Jesus says to do, if we could just get them just to do what Jesus said to do in the word, just do it. That's what the Nike commercial said, just do it. And I'm wondering, I hope and I pray that one day that we will grow up to the point where we just do what Jesus tells us to do. Hello, somebody. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. If you hear the words that I say, Jesus said, not only that you hear them, but you practice them. You know how to practice, don't you? Practice. Most people think practice is easy. Practice is hard, because practice, and I talk about this all the time, about athletes, especially pro athletes. Pro athletes practice more than they play the game. Pro athletes, even after they win the game, the next day they go into practice. They study the film, and they practice. They hit the weight room practicing, and they practice throughout the week. They practice probably 40 to 60 hours a week to play a four-hour game. Hello, somebody. And that's what Jesus said, that we've got to do with his word. We've got to not only hear it, but we've got to put it in practice, do what he says. And we've got to, if he says it on Sunday, we've got to practice it. Up until the point that we get back and hear whatever else he says has to say. We've got to practice it on a daily basis. Those men practice for a game, but Christianity is real life. Although to them, they're getting paid, so it's a job, so they have to do what they're supposed to do to keep their jobs. But Christianity, again, is real life and real afterlife. Hello, somebody. And Jesus is just trying to get us to do what he says to do. As a matter of fact, he says it this way. He talks about building on a house on the rock. I've been concerned about us, church. I've been concerned about us because we've been having earthquakes. And you know what happens when you have an earthquake that hits the 7, 8, and 9 mark? What happens? Total destruction. Hello, somebody. And if you're not built, we're on a fall, but we don't build like we're on a fall. Hello, somebody. And if you don't build the right kind of structure, the right kind of foundation, the higher the level of the earthquake, the more likely your building will crumble. Well, it's the same way in our spirituality. If we don't practice what Jesus had to say, when that devil begins to quake in our lives, our whole foundation of life will crumble. Will crumble. It's very important that we practice, that we apply the word, we practice. Just do what he said. That's what his mother said. As his mother said, miracles can happen when you just do what he says. And Peter Peter, when Peter said, Lord, can I come to you? And he said, yeah, Peter, you can come. Miracles began to happen because Peter walked out over the storm doing what he said. If you just do what he said, all miracles can happen.
Amen.
Your life can stop being ordinary and begin to be extraordinary when you do what he says. You don't have to do what Dr. Phil said. Don't do what Oprah said, you know, and said some of that advice is good advice. Some of that advice is good advice. But I tell you, none of this. Oprah have a new show on her network called Oprah's All Stars, but none of those All Stars can apply to what Jesus said. Hello, somebody. Do what he says. And miracles can happen. And she believed it. She believed it. How did she believe? How did she believe her son, that baby boy of hers that came out of her body? How did she believe? How did she even know that anything like that could happen? That's why we're talking about acknowledge or ask Jesus to help in any situation. I wouldn't have never even, if it was me, I would have never even come to think to ask Jesus to help me bring the wine. Which means that there's some stuff that Jesus can help you do that other folk may not understand, other folk may not agree with, but if you just ask Jesus, he can help you to do some things. That you probably and most people probably wouldn't understand. There's some folk that believe that they're called to being actors, and I can't understand, me and my own little limited mind, how you can be a Christian and an actor at the same time. Hello, somebody. But if that's what Jesus has called you to do, you better ask him about it. And he can make a way, and he can do some stuff that may be controversial in situations, but it's evident that he's moving. Hello, somebody. You say, why can't you believe an actor, a person could be an actress because of the roles that they have to play sometimes, the stuff that they have to do? But who am I if Jesus called you to be a Christian actor? Hello, somebody. Oh, you better work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hello, somebody. You better do what God has called you to do. The best thing I'm best at interpreting is for me, what God has called me to do as a preacher. That's what he called me to do. Some of y'all can't figure out how God can use preaching. Hello, somebody. The foolishness of preaching. Hello, somebody. That's what the Bible says. Hello, somebody. But God does do it and use it. Hello, somebody. And that's what he did in this text. He did something that a lot of people can't understand. But his mother, somehow it got in her head that God could bring more wine. That's deep. So this was the do it. And if you just do what Jesus said, you can be blessed. Not only that, in the text tonight, do we have the do it, but we have the to do. Because Jesus told the servants what to do. Hello, somebody. His mother talked to them in faith and said, do anything that he says to do. Hello, somebody. He comes on now. And that's what she said in verse 4. And in verse 7 is when her faith evidently had done something to move Jesus. Jesus had said, it's not my time. It's not time for me to do miracles. It's not time for me to be the miraculous. It's not time for me, to do what God has called me to do. But his mother said to the son, whatever he tell you to do, do it. By faith. By faith, that's the power of faith. The power of faith moves God.
Amen.
And could even move him to do something before time. If you have faith. Not just in time, but before time. If you have faith, maybe that's the faith that can move mountains. Maybe that's the faith that if we have enough faith, if a mustard seed, we can speak to the mulberry bush. Maybe that's the kind of faith. She just had that faith, whatever he says to do, just do it. Her faith moved Jesus to do something. Hello, somebody. Who knows whether God is calling you to move God to do something? Something is being overlooked. Some ministry, some cancer, some disease. Maybe God can use you to move God to do something. Ooh, that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. That's deep. That's deep. I hope that one day I'll be speaking the word that will initiate in somebody the faith to where they can take the word and they can cure cancer because of what they've heard through the word on a night like tonight. And they believe that it's possible, and they are a scientist, or they are a doctor, and they hear this word, and they begin to pray, and they say, Jesus and God, do it for me right now. And he gives them the wisdom to cure cancer. Hello, somebody. And God moves because they pray, because they heard the word. And they began to pray, Lord, do it for me right now. You call me to be a doctor. You call me for such a time as this, Lord. Do it for me right now. Well, Jesus right here in verse 7 tells them what to do. He said, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. I liked it. They heard what Mary said. Mary told him to do whatever he says to do. And he says, fill the jars with water. And what did they do? They didn't just go out and just half fill it. Some of us, you know, we're like, oh, we don't know what we're doing, what we're going to be doing. Talking about wine. He talking about water. We want to get our drink on. He talking about spring water. He talking about water. Hello, somebody. And he tells them to fill it up. And it says that they went out enthusiastically and did what his mother said to tell them to do, and they filled it to the brim. And God tells you to do something. Do it to the fullest. Hello, somebody preaching my sermon out there. Do it to the fullest. If God called you to preach, preach it to the fullest. If God called you to teach, teach it to the fullest. If God calls you, oh, to do finances, do it to the fullest. If God calls you to stand on the noise and lusher, do it to the fullest. If God calls you to work with the children, do it to the fullest. If God calls you, oh, to sing in the choir, do it to the fullest. Hello, somebody. Do it to the fullest of your ability. Because when you do it to the fullest, then miracles can begin to happen. I know that it's hard to be in ministry, and it seems like nobody is faithful, nobody is committed. Sometimes it's hard to preach because it seems like nobody want to come to church to hear. I know sometimes it's hard to teach because nobody want to show up to the class to hear the word being taught. But if God calls you to do any of that, you better do it to the fullest of your ability. You better preach. If you're a preacher, preach to that three as if they're 3,000. Do it to the fullest. If you're a teacher and only two folk all show up, you better teach to the fullest in Jesus' name. Because one of those two may be a Paul. Hello, somebody. I think the Sunday school teacher talked about in one Sunday school lesson, talked about, and I forgot his name, the man that led Billy Graham to salvation. Okay, and he talked, and most of us didn't know, and I began to guess when he told what part of the country it was in. What was his name? You remember? I can't remember either, brother. I can't remember. The guy that led Billy Graham to the salvation. I can't remember. But guess what? I remember Billy Graham. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You may have out of your two a Billy Graham. You may have out of your three a modern day Paul. And I know that I'm speaking right now to some folk in that category right now. some folk in this place that you don't even know about, some folk in this place that you may even not even think about, and 10 years from now they can turn the world upside down. He said, and you be like, I didn't know he had all that in him. But whatever you do, do to the fullest, oh God. Do it to the fullest. He deserves our best. Fill it to the brim. He deserves our best. Don't he deserve our best, church? I know he deserves our best. Because he is God. And that's what they did. They filled it to the brim. Filled it to the brim. And this concept right here, we talk about the blessing of obedience. And I've talked about this many times before, but I think people miss it. Don't you know that there is a blessing in obedience? There's a blessing in obedience. You just, a lot of times as pastor, I wish I could live some of your lives. And I'll live it and I'll show you what an obedient life could manifest. I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect, but I try to be obedient. And when you're obedient, blessings will follow you. They will follow you. That's the unless God is putting you to a test like Job, and he takes away what is called your righteous state. Blessings will follow you. And if he takes away that righteous state and you're faithful, he'll give it back. Hello, somebody. You got to be faithful. That's a blessing in obedience. Just don't be blessed. Don't just obey him in the bad times. That's what people tend to do. They obey him in the bad time and they get blessed and then they lose it. Hello, somebody. That's a blessing in complete obedience. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what Paul's talking about. He wants to know Christ. Hello, somebody. But Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 27 talks about this blessing of inobedience. It says, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. I just wanted to focus on the blessing, but there's in this text, there was something, a fork in the road. He was laying out, he said, if you want to be blessed, then go down the right way. If you want to be cursed, then don't go down the right way. It's your choice. But I'm here to tell you, if you just do what Jesus says to do, then you can be blessed. He was talking about in this text being blessed enough to go into the land flowing with milk and honey. To be blessed enough to live in houses that they didn't build and to have fields that they didn't plant. Oh, he was talking about blessings. Oh, that you would own a fortified cities. Oh, he was talking about living a prosperous life if they were willing to obey. In Bethlehem, we can live a prosperous life. Here in Paul's Valley, we can do what we want to do. We can build a building if we want to build a building if we just are willing to obey God, because there's a blessing in obedience. If we can just fill it to the brim of what we have, just give the best that we have to the brim, and you sit back and watch God do his miracle. Sit back and watch God do his work, because he can do some stuff that you can't understand. He got some math that you can't understand. Oh, his math is even more difficult than the trigonometry that some of you studied. I didn't get to trigonometry. I barely made it through algebra. I didn't get all the way up there. Hello, somebody. But God gets up past all of that. And if you just give him your best, fill it to the rim, and just to sit back and obey him, then you can be blessed. Hello, somebody. You can be blessed. It's set before you today, right now. You can do what you want to do, but I'm praying that you would just to do. Hello, somebody. Just do what he tells you to do. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, do what he tells you to do in Jesus' name. There's a blessing and obedience, and we see what happens when the servants obeyed. What happened? To make a long story short, starting at verse 10, you go back and read it in context a little later. And he says in verse 10, and he said, everyone brings out the choice wine first. The choice wine. What is choice wine? I don't know. Choice wine. The best, the finest wine. I'm talking about names today. I know the cheap wine. I never had the best wine back. A real Neti on ice. So that box wine. I don't know the names. I think they talk about Dom Perignon and all that kind of stuff. But it's expensive stuff. But I don't know if that's wine or not. But it says everyone brings out the choice, the best wine first. And then bring out the cheap wine after the guests have had much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. I believe the King James says the best till last. Oh, that's another principle that I love, is that God can sometimes save the best for last. Hello, somebody. The best for last. That blows my mind. You mean I can be living for God and it seems like stuff is not working out and all of a sudden he gives me his best and he saved it for last? Hello, somebody. Ask Job, Joseph. Oh, you can ask Job, too. He saved his best for last. He got a double portion. But ask Joseph. He got the best for last. His life didn't seem like it was amounting up to nothing. He had it good in his family and his family life because his daddy, he was his daddy's favorite, and he had it good. But because he was his daddy's favorite, nobody else liked him. And as a result of that, what did they do? They tried to kill him, put him in a pit. Oh, and then they took him out of that pit. They sold him into slavery. And when he was in a pit, it don't seem like anything good would come from that pit. They sold him, got him up, didn't kill him. Some of them wanted to kill him. Oh, got him up and sold him into slavery. Now, can anybody who's a slave amount to anything? Hello, somebody. Have the Kunta Kinte in the text. And anything good of Kunta Ken Joseph in the text? He became a slave. And he ended up being a steward in his master's house. Just a regular servant. Can anything good happen? Went from a slave from the pit to a slave to a servant. Can anything good come of that? Anybody looking off said, oh no, there nothing good gonna come of that. And then what happened? After daddy became a prisoner. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. A prisoner. Now he's in jail because you fail. In jail, that's the song said back in the day. In jail because you fail. Surely nothing good could come of his life. After all this drama, this is enough drama for your mama. Hello, somebody. This drama don't have anything like the drama, the Kim Kardashian drama that's going on, or the Bieber drama that's going on. Some of y'all know about pop culture. Hello, somebody. But this didn't have anything to do with that kind of drama. Can anything good become of this man's life? He's a nothing. He's a nobody. He's a throwaway. He's not worth anything. He's a prisoner. He's a slave. Oh, nothing good could possibly happen from his life. Hello, somebody. But yet in his life, God, guess what? Save the mess for less. Hello, somebody. Took him out of that prison. Became number two in Egypt. Hello, somebody. Could anybody have seen that happening? Hello, somebody. He saved the best for last. Oh, and that's the kind of God that I serve. He said, you can have a Joseph kind of life. You can have spent the first part of your life as a slave, the first part of your life in the prison. Oh, but God says that he can save the best for last. Hello, somebody. Come here, Mandela. Can you tell me about the best being last? Spending all those years in prison. Coming out of the prison and being a prisoner, from a prisoner to a president. Hello, somebody. Talking about saving the best for last. God can save the best for last. That's why you always have to be faithful. That's why you always have to do what he says. That's why you always have to fill your life to the brim with what he says, and step back and see the miracles of God. And that's what they saw. That's what they saw. That's what they saw. You saved the best for last. I like what Isaiah 43 verse 19 says. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in deserts and streams and wasteland. God said, oh, he was here through Jesus, that he was about to do a new thing. He was about to turn the water into wine. He was about to turn their watered down religion into a wine and intoxicating flavors where you could get to know God for yourself. Because he was about to do a new thing. No longer will he have to, will we ever need a priest to intercede on our behalf. No longer would the priest have to go into the holiest of holies with a rope around him just in case he may fall dead because he wasn't living right. And they'd have to drag him out. No longer will we need a priest to intercede on our behalf. He was about to do a new thing. And Jesus was that new thing, and Jesus would leave that point from his first miracle and do many, many more miracles to prove that he was the Son of God, to prove that he was Emmanuel, and to which we sung when he was born, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. And he would go and do more miracles upon miracles upon miracles, but the greatest miracle that he would have to do, which was a new thing, is what he would have to die for your sins and my sins. He would have to die for the sins of the world, and he would give his life on Calvary's cross. And when it says when he died and was taken down from Calvary's cross, it says the curtain in the temple split from the top to the bottom, which symbolized that we would no longer need a man to intercede on our behalf. You know what? You don't need your pastor to pray for you. Guess what? You can pray for yourself. You don't need to dig in to pray for you. You can pray for yourself deep in the midnight hour. If you want to call me, I'll pray with you, but I'm here to teach and to do as the preacher was talking about, to take you from milk to meat. And when you get some meat, eat, you learn that you can pray for yourself. Oh, in the midnight hour when the preacher is asleep, oh, you can pray for yourself. And that's what he did. He did a new thing. And we're all equal at the cross. Oh, there's no respect of persons. And that was the new thing, because he died and he raised again on the third day, got up with all power in his hand, and now is seated at the right-hand side of the Father. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And in that, he served the best for last. Because he had done all kind of miracles before that. But he saved the best for last is when he died. Hello, somebody. The best due was the last due. It's when he died. And in this text, the best due was that wine that they brought out. And he saved the day. He saved the reputation of that couple. He did what his mother wanted him to do. Because somebody said, Lord, do it. Lord, do it for me. Right now, somebody can pray that song in their prayers. Lord, do it. I heard what the preacher man said, but mostly I saw it for myself. It's in the book. I saw it for myself. He showed it to me in the book. I saw it for myself. And as a result, I want to come tonight and I want to pray, Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. Lord, do it. Do it for me, Lord. You know what I'm going through. You know what I need. You not only know what I need, but you know what I want. Your word even says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that you would give me the desires of my heart. You not only know what I need, you know what I want. Hello, somebody. As you can pray tonight, pray tonight. Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. The next years of my life are really the last years, because there's more years behind me than before me. But Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. Show me that you saved the best for last. Lord, do it. Do it for me. Do it for me. Right now. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord, just want to thank you, Lord, for your holy word. We want to thank you, Father, for the encouragement that we get from your holy word. The encouragement we get tonight is that, Lord, you can move beforehand. We've heard it said many times that he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. But Father, tonight, Lord, it says that in your word that you can be before time. That you can be early, Lord. And tonight I'm praying, Father, that you would be early for somebody sitting here tonight, Father. Be early with a blessing, Father. Be early with a miracle. Be early for a door that needs to open, Father, for them. Be early, Father. Everybody else thinks it's going to take a year, Father, but you be early for them. Everybody else thinks it's going to take 6 months, Lord, but you be early for them tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Even as their hearts cry out tonight, Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. Father God, we're taking great encouragement, Father, that you can come early, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. We take great encouragement tonight that if we do what you say do, Father, that there's a blessing in obedience. Somebody's listening tonight and they've been obedient to your word. They've done everything they could do by the power of your Holy Spirit on the inside of them, and they've struggled to do and to be the right person that you've called them to do and to be right for, Father. But it seems like their blessing seems to be tarrying, Father, and we just pray, Lord, do it. Do it for them, Father. Right now, Father. And we stand on your word, Lord, that says that there is a blessing in obedience. That we do build our house on that solid rock foundation because we just do what you tell us to do, Father. And we're praying, Father, tonight that you would do it. Do it for them, Father, right now. Father, we also just thank you, Father, that you can save the best for last, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Somebody listening here tonight, Father, wanting you to do the best, Father. They've had a life full of mediocrity, Father. A life, maybe it's not a life full of mediocrity. Maybe it was an amazing life, but it just wasn't a life lived for you, Father. And we pray, Father, that you will save the best for last, Father, for them, Father, that you blow their minds, Father. Show them, Father, what they can be, Father. Show them, Father, what they will be, Father, and enable them, Father, to be submissive to your will, that they may be able to experience the blessings of obedience, that they may be able to go into their personal land flowing with milk and honey, that place where they can be the best that you called them to be and do the best that you've called them to do, that place, that you prepared for them before the foundations of the world, before their mothers and daddies ever thought about them, that place that you purposed, Lord, in the seed of their fathers and in the eggs of their mothers, that place that you would enable them, Father, to manifest your purpose, Father. Your purpose is best for us, Father. Even when we don't understand it, Lord, help us to be submissive to it, Father. Even when we don't want to do it, Father, help us, not to allow our emotions to decide whether we're going to be obedient or not, Father, because your word tells us about agape love, and agape love is a decision of the will. And help us, Lord, to agape love you, Father, and to decide to do it, Father. Decide to do whatever you tell us to do, Father, in Jesus' name, that we may experience that which was best and the best for last, Father. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you tonight, Father. We pray, Father, that you would take care of every need tonight, Father. We pray for those that are on the sick beds, Father, those that are in the hospital, that part of our church that is mourning the loss of a loved one, Father. We pray, Father, that you would just touch right now, Father, encourage, Father, right now. Oh, Father, that you will enable us as a church, Lord, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn, Father, and that we will be the church that you've called us to be, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you for all that you're doing in the life of this church, all that you're doing in the life of each person listening at the sound of my voice, either right here in the sanctuary, Father, or in other places, Father. We pray that you dispatch your angels right now, Father, in Jesus' name. They may have help to do what you call them to do. In Jesus' name.
Hello again. Amen. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program.
Right now,
and before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem again. We're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today, and I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home, and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.